Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt continues now. This is the broadcast for June 13th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. All right, we talked about the economy with Brian Rust last hour, big time. We talked about fact-checking the fact-checkers, how often they lie about President Donald Trump. Donald Trump gets rid of 30,000 pages of job-killing regulation. They say it's nothing, inconsequential, doesn't matter anyway. And my response is, how many pages then could we just jettison from the National Register that are worthless and meaningless and whatever? Don't even believe Donald. He's crazy. Just if it doesn't matter, though, why don't we just go ahead and just jettison how many pages? Liberals, extremists, could we just, cut, if you will? Just wondering. All right, Kurt Crosby's with me. Headline says they ditched America. Kurt?
Ooh, ditching America. You know, we used to kind of sometimes enjoy ditching things.
That was in this case.
That's right.
So they ditched America to retire by a lake in Chile. Or Chile. They got $3,000 a month and they rarely come back, buddy.
Well, you know, it does show you that even with the messed up money system we've got compared to some other places, you can live pretty well on that. Now, I'm confident that you can even do that here in America, Sam, if you go to the right places. And I'm not talking about San Francisco or New York or whatever, but I'm talking about, kind of the country right here in America. There are places for $3,000 a month. You can live pretty well. This is a MarketWatch.com piece. And, they're talking about, hey, they just cruised and they retired by a lake in Chile and they're living on about $3,000 a month. What's that? That's $36,000 a year. So, they say, here's how they did it, what it's really like to live abroad.
Do you know how much $3,000 a month is in real money, real dollars, Kurt?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, good point. Then you're talking about, take $3,000 divided by 20, and then you're going to get, 60? Yeah. Let's see, is that right? Let's see, 3,000 divided by 20 gives you, 150, sorry.
Yeah, $150 a month there, buddy.
Well, yeah, of real silver dollars. Anyway, they talk about the shimmering waters of a Chilean lake. Called to this American couple, and they say they 6 years ago they retired down there to this village, second largest lake in Chile. They say the sun will come out, and I'll say, let's go get our kayaks and go to the lake. Now, I don't really, these guys are, one of them's 55 and the other one's 56. I don't really have anything against them doing that. But just imagine, Sam, if the people that realized there was a problem in America and really realized they had, money to survive with, and they could put some effort to making America great again, like straightening out Congress, or I know that's a tall order, but imagine if they didn't just head off to some lake in Chile and they worked at making America better or greater or whatever. Wouldn't that be it ought to be good for your grandchildren, your children, and all that kind of stuff, but so many times it seems like we're just,
does it even mention children and grandchildren in this story, Kurt?
Not that I can see, Sam.
See, and that's kind of, to me, the big point is that is life just about finding a way to have plenty of money just to live the party life or the kickback life or the... And I guess my personal opinion is when you put God, family, and country in that order, I'm not saying they're doing anything against God in terms of sinning. I'm not suggesting that. What I am suggesting is there's a good, better, and best principle that we need to kind of adhere to a little bit, which is, what does God want me doing? what is the best use of my time? And I believe it's to minister to God's children on the earth and help build the kingdom of God. And you know what? I'm not saying you can't be a nice guy on a lake and help out your neighbor or whatever you can, and you're fine. I'm not criticizing people who are you know, trying to better themselves. That's good. But I guess I'm saying I want a purpose-driven life, personally, Kurt. And I want to look at God and say, you know what, Father in heaven, on a daily basis, what should I be doing with my time, with my talents, with my service to others? How do I, you know, and I want to take these parables, and I want to be the wise virgin with my lamp full of oil. I want to be the guy that, you know what, when I come to the Lord and say, "What, you know what, I've done a lot of good my whole life, Lord, what lack I yet?" And the Lord says, you know, come follow me. And I guess I'm saying I don't know that I need the big house by the lake. And I don't know. And so when I look at God, family, and country, then I say, hey, my first goal is to my God. My second goal is to my family, to promote the next generations, to take care of them, to love them, to support them, to strengthen them. And then I want to reach out to all those around me. Love my neighbor as myself. And, on the, you know, love God and love your neighbor. Those are the two commandments which the law hangeth. Which means the Ten Commandments now come into play. And I go right on down that list, and I just kind of say, where does a lake in Chile fall into those plans? And for me personally, it doesn't. And I'm not criticizing these people, but I do want to talk about, is our goal just retirement? Is our goal just to be rich and have not a worry in the world? Is our goal just to have kind of the party life? Or is our goal to say, hey, work is for men. Man, you're supposed to earn, you know, your keep by the sweat of your brow kind of a thing. And when you put God, family, and country in perspective, I think you're pretty occupied, busy all the day long. Now, I'm not saying that a break by the lake on occasion isn't okay. That's fine. But I guess I'm saying I want a purpose-driven life, and I have a purpose. And so I'm not really here to down these people, but I'm just saying, hey, ditching out when America's in trouble? I ain't got to come back and help build the greatest country on the face of the earth. The other problem that I have with this story is it makes it sound like retirement's the ultimate goal. And that America is just broken and the people that ditched it are doing great and the rest of us are just in the heck hole called America. I want to reject that notion. And I want to basically agree with Kurt that you can do that here. It's very hard because of the belligerent taxation and stuff like that. And when you live in places where you can live inexpensively, it's hard to get work and stuff. And there's some challenges in the way. However, it could be more and more and more and more so if we worked at making it so. And I do think it is possible. I think Kurt's right. You can live very well. If you're out of debt, don't have any debt, that's the first goal. I mean, you know, most people pay anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 a month for their home or their place to live or whatever. And, you know, you take that out if you're out of debt and boom, now you're dropping your cost of living substantially. There's ways to go about it. And Kurt's right that it can be done and you can live fairly well. But I'm not about to abandon the God, family, and country principle in a purpose-driven life, Kurt. And to me, that's a little bit more what it's about rather than just saying, hey, I'm partying by the lake in Chile and bag America. Chile might be a nice place. And as far as I understand, in the South American countries or whatever else, it's one of the best ones in terms of modern conveniences and such like that. I guess I just have a different purpose-driven life, Kurt. It's all about your focus, right?
Couldn't agree more, Sam.
And I got a different life than this. What's this thing? This ex-NFL player guy? He's got a different life than me, I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
What's his name? Colin Winslow?
Yeah. You know, I remember hearing about this guy years ago. You know, I mean, he was pretty famous and, you know, got all this big money and all that stuff. But now, you know, I mean, he's dropped the ball, I guess you could say. And, you know, in this case, the headline from Breitbart, ex-NFL player Colin Winslow, the second found guilty of rape and other charges. You know, and to me, it's just a, I guess you could say it points out the fact that, hey, you know, maybe you think you've got it made because you're in the NFL and you're really, you know, doing well, you got lots of money and all that stuff. Well, the problem is, if you're not careful, you can fall and mess, you know, just really drop to the bottom of the barrel. But, you know, it's not a goal or, in my opinion, the end of the rainbow to get to be an NFL player, you know. And this guy has made some wrong choices, and it's sad to see, you know.
Well, and I'm not comparing the people that are on the lake to crime. in any stretch of the imagination, but I am kind of saying, what do you put your focus on? Is it the end of the rainbow to get by a lake in Chile and say I got it made and I got the cash rolling in? Is it to where I want to be a footballer or a basketballer or a rock star or whatever? Is it that I want to, you know, be in the retirement club at age 20? Is it that I want the big house on the hill? Is it, you know, what do you strive for? And what becomes your, well, what do you have your heart set on, is the way I might put it. You know, where is your heart? Is it in caring for others? Is it in God, family, country? Is it in promoting the greatest country on the face of the earth? Is it, money? Now, money's not a bad thing, but if your heart's set on it, it's probably not too good. You know, what makes you tick, right, Kurt?
You know, it's sad to see, and you're exactly right, this ex-NFL player, Kellen Winslow II, you know, I mean, back in, he played 10 years for the Cleveland Browns. He was a first-round draft pick, Sam. I mean, you know, he had everything going for him, but then he violated the drug policy back in 2013. Now he's, you know, I mean, done a bunch of rapes and things like that. I mean, it's just sad to see.
Well, a great segue for that right after the pause is Alabama governor. We'll talk about KIV in seconds on your radio. Sam and Kurt, hard-hitting talk, I'll tell you that right now. Contemplate, where's your heart, ladies and gentlemen?
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right. You got this guy, this ex-NFL player, Kellen Winslow, found guilty of rape and other charges. At the same time, you got Alabama Governor Kay Ivey signing what's called chemical castration bill into law, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. And I find it very interesting because the place I saw it was Breitbart. And, you know, I used the exact words from their headline, in the search in Google. And guess what comes up first, Sam? No mention of Breitbart. You know, they put CNN first, you know. And then they put the New York Times, Washington Post, Democracy Now. These are all ones they say have that, you know, so-called piece. And they've got Vox, The Root, WPMT, you know, USA Today, Salon, goes on, but no, you know, Breitbart. The only way you're going to get Breitbart is it's got to be listed. You got to say Breitbart after that thing, and yet it's exactly as Breitbart had the headline, you know. And it shows you how, in my opinion, it's manipulated those the searches are on Google once again. Anyway, the governor down there, Alabama governor Kay Ivey, she's a Republican, got one of those R by her name, or by her name, and she signed this bill into law that requires sex offenders whose victims are younger than the age of 13 to undergo chemical castration treatment as a condition of parole. And this treatment, which consists, they say, of taking medication, is meant to suppress or prevent the production of testosterone. Representative Steve Hurst, who sponsored the legislation, isn't this what they do when they want to do a transgender thing, Tim? But anyway, said his intention was to stop sexual abuse of children. He says, I'm very serious. Well, what I want to know is, why wouldn't you just put these people away, Sam? I mean, but anyway, he says, not only did I want it to pass, I want to follow it on through the future where we can try to improve it. One of the ultimate goals that I want to do is for us to track it, make sure what medication works for what individuals. People say this is inhumane, he says. How can it be more inhumane than molesting a small child? Chemical castration law says sex offenders whose victims were younger than 13 will have to take, and it's a big long word telling you about the chemical or whatever. Anyway, that's what's going on in
Alabama. All right, what's your take on the bill, Kurt?
Well, I got, you know, a couple of problems with it. Just like I mentioned, isn't this what they do to people that, or people do to themselves that want to say, I'm changing from a man to a woman, you know, because I'm not, you know, I'm putting the testosterone down or whatever. And then why aren't these people, rather than being chemically treated, why aren't they locked up, Sam?
Well, and they are. This is a provision of parole. So they're not locked up. To get out, they'll need to do this. Otherwise, they are locked up. But here's my question. Is it better to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, where they learn that there is a God in heaven who does love you, whose child you are, and he has strict prohibitions or guidelines relating to this sacred procreative power? And there's no doubt an urge in male and female that relates to this by design, because that is how God brings his children to the earth. But understand, sex cannot be separated from a procreative sacred power that God gives male and female, created he them, and he gives them this a power to build the fundamental unit of society, families. And you would say, well, Sam, you're so naive. You just think telling these people about God and about his laws and about the gospel and about their responsibilities and their obligations before God as his children, and you think that's going to make a difference. You're so naive. And I disagree. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some hardened people that will never learn, never listen. There are, and there always has been in the history of our society. But if we taught this to children from the cradle up, Kurt, and we had strong God, family, then we would have a strong country. And I'm not saying that this problem would completely go away, but I'm saying I believe that it would probably have a greater effect than anything else we can do. Okay? But nobody brings up God in this story. Nobody brings up family in this story. Nobody brings up God's law regarding the sexual desires and or relationships and or misuse of that power. And I don't think we can have a proper discussion about this. This is just my opinion. I don't believe we can have this discussion about a chemical castration without talking about God and family and the purpose thereof. And okay, so we're going to let these kids grow up No one's going to talk about God to them. You can't have it in the government school. You can't teach. You got to just teach sex of the mechanics of it. You can't really talk about its relationship to God's law. You can't talk about the sacred responsibility that we have as male and female, or eventually husband and wife, that precedes father and mother titles, etc. You can't discuss that. So now we're going to put a chemical castration bill into place, and then we're going to have this ex-NFL player found guilty of rape and other charges. And I kind of think, do you want to talk about the core and the real solutions, or do you just want to put like window dressing on it? In other words, chemical castration is after the fact. It's after they've already violated God's laws and committed grievous sin before the maker of us all. And I don't believe that you can separate these two discussions and just act like, well, are you for or against chemical castration? Well, I'm pretty much against it. But I'm also saying, why are we here? Why are we discussing this ex-NFL football player that's already guilty and found guilty of rape? And then we're discussing this chemical castration bill, and we're talking about people who ditched a late to retire, and we're talking about, you know, is there a relationship between all these things? I believe there is. And the relationship is, we must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ from the rooftops. From the tops of the Rocky Mountains is how we're doing it, ladies and gentlemen. And because I believe that has a greater ability to influence people for good, and a greater ability to have people realize what is evil, what is sin, who are you, what is your relationship to God, what is your personal obligations, how do you obtain blessings and protection from an almighty God. And the way we do it is to teach these principles. And so I know that you would say, well, Sam, in the case of this football player, it's a little too late, isn't it, buddy? Yeah, you're right. And in case of these shooters around the country, isn't it a little too late? Yeah, you're right. And in the case of this, you know, hey, castration, chemical, whatever, castration bill discussion, isn't it a little too late? Yeah, it is. I get it. And I'm willing to talk about what we ought to do for these people, or to these people, or whatever you want to call it, because we have to. But I'm going to rewind the tape a little bit and say, if we would look at it differently, the boy that's born today or the girl that's born today, if they're not murdered first, we need to stop the potential that they get murdered after they're born by abortions. We then need to look at abortions being directly linked to this. If a child makes it out of the death camp, called abortion, late-term abortion, after-birth abortion, whatever terms you want to use, and then they grow up, and we never talk about God, and we never talk about God's laws, and they don't have a fundamental unit of society surrounding them with love and kindness and respect and dignity, and teaching them their duty of how to, for a man, how to treat women, for a woman, how to treat men, how to treat others around you, how to behave, how to sacredly guard and jealously protect this procreative power that God has given us for the perpetuation of the fundamental unit of society, the family, and how sex cannot be separated from these God-given blessings and responsibilities. And okay, I don't see how you can divorce all that and then go, hey, this guy went out of control, man, got all rich, he was a rock star, NFL guy, took some liberties with some girls, now just put him in jail and chemically castrate him. That ought to solve it, for crying out loud. Let the guy get out as a transgender. Okay, we're going down the wrong roads, folks. Now, I'm not saying that it's okay to ignore these things. I know they're serious matters, and we need to protect the innocent among us, that's for sure. But the way you do that is you turn to God and family. I'm telling you, those are the answers. And you can run around and say how naive I am if you choose, but I'm telling you, those are the solutions. The next headline talks about a new sex work bill. Sex work would, quote, be broadly legal as a New York bill comes to, quote, fruition. We'll talk about that. I think it's intermingled? Interconnected? I think it relates, is what I'm trying to say. Hang tight.
Pursuing liberty. Using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump raising more than a few eyebrows in an interview that aired last night in which he said he'd accept dirt on political foes if it was offered by a foreign government.
It's not an interference. They have information. I think I'd take it.
That from the ABC News interview, California Senator and Democratic presidential hopeful Kamala Harris reacts.
He is yet again open to the idea of working with foreign governments to undermine the integrity of our election system. It's outrageous, and it tells me the guy just doesn't understand the job and can't do it very well.
Dozens of officers injured during a protest in Memphis last night after law enforcement killed a man who was wanted on multiple warrants. When they tried to stop him, he rammed his vehicle into squad cars and then got out of his with a weapon. After they killed him, a crowd gathered to protest the shooting and things turned violent. This is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. A new survey found that Gen Z is not dragging their feet when it comes to home ownership. Nearly 60% of Gen Z wants to buy a home in the next 5 years, before the age of 30. This isn't just wishful thinking, as more than half have already started saving to achieve this goal. The latest Bank of America Home Buyer Insights report also found that if gifted $5,000, 80% of Gen Zers would rather save it for a down payment than spend it on their dream wedding. Kathy Cummings, Senior Vice President, Homeownership Solutions and Strategic Relationships, Bank of America.
Current homeowners' belief that owning a home is worth it is motivating prospective Gen Z home buyers to follow in their footsteps. Gen Z recognize they may face challenges, but that's not stopping them from taking actionable steps, such as getting a second job or making sacrifices, like moving in with their parents or in-laws to save for a down payment.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com/homebuyersreport.
Police in the Dominican Republic say the man who shot former Boston Red Sox star David Ortiz is in custody, as Dominican National Police say the gunman was part of a larger group that was offered the equivalent of $8,000 to stage a hit on Ortiz. Five people have been arrested so far. Reports are that the gunman also lived in Paterson, New Jersey in 2017 and remains wanted there for two violent muggings. Ortiz was ambushed on Sunday night at a bar in his hometown of Santo Domingo. He's now been flown back to Boston, where he's getting medical treatment and is expected to recover. Russian lawmakers say Moscow could be forced to retaliate if President Trump follows through on a promise to deploy U.S. forces to Poland after the president told the Polish president yesterday he'd send 1,000 troops there to deter any possible military aggression by Russia. First-time jobless claims rose slightly last week from the week before, and this is USA Radio News.
All right, to highlight the point, if you listened to the bottom of that news, or bottom of the hour news, David Ortiz, you know, well-known athlete, right? Hanging out at a bar on Sunday night in the Dominican Republic. Sad events there. I'm not making any excuses for that. But I wonder if the people that literally abused him, I wonder if they were taught about God and family. I wonder if they had a strong family and were taught about God's laws about thou shalt not kill and or do anything like unto it, etc. And you know, David Ortiz, I'm not saying any of this is his fault, but I'm saying I wonder what would be if he was at his home in America with his wife and children. I don't know if he has wife and children. I'm just saying that if he was in the fundamental unit of society, the family, taught about God's laws and about family, and if these people that abused him, if they weren't all in bars on Sunday night, if they were in church and in America and with their families, either a family if they're young enough not to have a family of their own, but their parental guidance family, etc., and or building families of their own, I wonder in that framework if we would be having these meltdowns. And I submit to you the answer is probably not. And the answer to the problems that we face are to teach God and family. And there is no better plan. Anyway, I digress, but now, instead of dealing with the issue properly like we should be doing, it isn't a governmental discussion, really, but they're going to use governmental, manipulations or more laws on the books? I guess sex work would be, quote, broadly legal, according to a new bill in New York, Kurt.
Yeah. Man, it's this is just crazy, but New York is kind of, they and California seem to, you know, go hand in hand on stuff like this. And that's
they're debating a race
reads
to the bottom, aren't they, Kurt?
Well, that's what it seems like. Headline, sex work would be broadly legal not under God's law, by the way, but under man's law there in New York. In New York, under new bill introduced, the bill removes penalties for buying and selling sex in many cases. So, you know, I mean, it's another reason to leave New York and not go there.
Well, and what they say about this bill is, hey, if the sex workers, if people are allowed to buy and sell sex, sex workers can kind of come out in the open, then they can blow the whistle on this illegal trafficking and all this kind of stuff. Right now, they're afraid to blow the whistle because, hey, what do you? How do you know? Are you in? And then they get tied to the sex work trade. But they act like this is the answer. It reminds me of how we need to open a gambling hall to fund education. Or it reminds me of, oh, you got to make alcohol or marijuana legal because otherwise people will do worse drugs. You got to have abortion legal so everybody doesn't die from having abortions. And these lies, Kurt, are falling on deaf ears. People are realizing that how dishonest and disingenuous these points being made by government and by these people who want to violate God's laws. People are realizing it's a lie. And we need to highlight this. I don't want sex work broadly legal in New York or anywhere. And I don't want to remove penalties for buying and selling sex. I think it's criminal activity, and I think it strikes at the very heart of God and family, of God's law. And we certainly don't need governments backing the violation of God's law and violating God's law and putting it under man's, quote, jurisdiction or pretending we can do so. And I don't want this idea that we're going to make it more supportive of government to buy and sell sex. I think it's a disaster for our society. And you can go look at, just like I'm against gambling, you can go look at these ills that come from it, the societal ills and the cost, not only financially, but morally to a society. It is disaster on steroids. These people are crazy. So while I'm out talking about God's law relating to the sexual relationship and the sacred procreative power, these people are just wanting to buy and sell sex and make it, what, legal and backed by the government as if it's just, hey, another line of work, Kurt.
That's exactly right, Sam, and it's, the new morality is nothing but the old immorality, Sam.
Amen to that. Good point. You want to build more lethal warriors, Kurt? I don't, but the Pentagon does.
Well, at least they're talking about diet, Sam, and I will give them something there. The headline from WashingtonTimes.com piece, Pentagon eyes controversial diet in bid to build more lethal warriors. Yeah, I guess they're saying Ben Wolfgang is the author, by the way. It says, ditching carbs may be the key to military success in America's future wars. Top Pentagon officials say research has shown that human bodies in ketosis, they say, in the goal of the popular and controversial ketogenic diet, can stay underwater for longer periods, making the fat and protein heavy eating plan a potential benefit to military divers. Did you know that about the keto diet, Sam? I didn't know
it benefited divers and they could stay in the water longer. No, I didn't know that.
They say it's one example of a rapidly growing trend as military researchers zero in on how nutrition and certain drugs can enhance how fighting men and women perform in battle. At least the one thing I'll say is they're at least addressing the idea that you are what you eat, and maybe those guys would benefit from eating better, you know?
Yeah, and by the way, I think most people misunderstand the keto or the ketogenic diet in terms of how it is. They think it's, like Atkins, or they think it's this and that. And I think people misunderstand it primarily. A lot of people do keto, but they do what's called dirty keto, Kurt. And what that means is that the difference between a ketogenic diet and the SAD diet or the standard American diet is one diet lives on carbs big time. Massive carbs, tons of bad fat, very little good fat, etc. And the ketogenic diet primarily says, hey, you need most of your diet from fat, medium protein. Atkins is high protein, but on the keto diet, medium protein and very, very low minimalistic carbs as you can get. However, I think that fact about keto is true. I mean, that's how it generally works. But the part that I think people are missing is you don't want to just get fat at the expense of the nutrition providing vegetables. And so I would submit to you that a ketogenic diet done right is vegetables first, good fats second, medium protein third, and very, very little carbs. And the reason I bring that up is because I think a lot of times people just go after the fat and skip the vegetables. And I think that what they're doing is they're teaching their body to live on fat instead of carbs, which is good. And that's what gets you into a state of ketosis. That's true. But you're missing the nutrition elements of the vegetables first. And so I think a ketogenic diet done right starts with proper vegetables and water. Plenty of vegetables and water. And then add to that proper good fats. Add to that a medium amount of protein. And then avoid the carbs like the plague. But understanding that, you can't get rid of all carbs. So then how do you have long-term, carbs versus short-term kind of carbs in your diet? How do you minimize them? And how do you take a hit on carbs? Because you got to have some carbs. It's not possible to have zero carbs. But how do you, when you get a few carbs slipping in, how do you make sure that it's the better carbs as opposed to the worst carbs? In other words, there's nutrient-based carbs and there's not. And I'll give you an example. Almonds. Has a little bit of carbs in them, but you know what? The value of nuts versus the carbs are minimal. If you don't have too many nuts, it's really good, but it's kind of a last thought to add to your diet. The vegetables and the water is the start of the diet. Then that high fat, you know, the cheese and the butter and the cream and the sour cream and the avocados and the, okay? And then add to that some meat, some solid protein, and avoid the carbs. I think people miss that vegetable piece being the start of that diet. And I'm not interested in building lethal warriors with the diet, though. I'm interested in building men and women of God who follow the Prince of Peace. And so I agree it's good if the Pentagon is going to talk about something, at least they're talking about good diets. But I would reject the warrior, more lethal warrior mentality. I'd like sound, understanding men and women who follow their God, who build families, the fundamental unit of society, and who love their country. That's what I'd like to do. Ketogenic diet in the mix, for sure. Steve Moore has got a prediction, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam. And Steve Moore, I'm going to look that one up. I know that you mentioned it. I'm just trying to keep up with which ones are going.
Yeah, that's what I do, too. Moore. Kurt sends me 1,000 stories. I try to keep up and keep track of them all, and then Kurt tries to keep up when I feed them back to him.
Yeah.
We got to work on a few less stories, maybe. But nevertheless, Steve Moore is in the news because he's predicting a, quote, 40-state reelection landslide for the Donald if the China deal happens, they say.
Yeah, now, you know, I suppose you have some thoughts about this, but I guess this guy's some kind of famous guy. And
Kurt, he's in the administration, isn't he?
Okay.
Or was he the guy that they were trying to get in the administration?
Well, maybe so. But the bottom line is,
you got to look up who this guy is, Kurt.
I think there's some things that the president could do that could make him have a 50-state landslide, but I don't think he's going to listen about that. You?
He's an American writer and television commentator. Yeah. Quick pause on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Between the parades, picnics, and fireworks from coast to coast, most of us are experts on how to celebrate Independence Day. This year, we invite you to join us at Liberty Hall in Far West Utah for a grand old 4th of July celebration that focuses on why we celebrate. From noon to 2 p.m., come and hear patriotic music by Radiant Productions. We'll be showing a screening of A More Perfect Union. Enjoy free hot dogs and popcorn. And hear Benjamin Franklin speak on the Declaration of Independence. Make it an Independence Day to remember Thursday, July 4th from noon to 2 p.m. at Liberty Hall, 3677 North, Highway 126 in Far West Utah. Sponsored by Loving Liberty. All proceeds benefit Follow the Flag.
So Steve Moore is the guy that was with the Heritage Foundation, prolific writer. They mock him and say he's not a real economist, but he's done a tremendous job over the years. He's the one that Donald Trump tried to get on the Federal Reserve, Kurt, and then it got rejected, and Donald kind of melted down and didn't stand up for Steve Moore like he should have. Nevertheless, that's who we're talking about, right?
Very good, Sam. And, you know, the Breitbart piece, I'm going to give kudos at least one little bit here to Google, because I put that piece in, or those words in, and they didn't just force me to like CNN. They actually had the Breitbart piece there, so maybe they were listening, you know. Maybe they took off the controls for just a little while. But anyway,
I doubt that.
They
haven't caught that one yet. Now that they're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live and you alerted them, they'll sure add that to the filter ASAP, sir.
Anyway, he predicts a 40-state re-election landslide for President Trump if China deal happens. Now, you know, I thought we could take this opportunity, Sam, to maybe even suggest some other things that might make it a 50-state landslide. You got any recommendations for the president?
Well, my recommendations have been very clear right since the Republicans took power. You got to stand unequivocally for pro-life, meaning you got to move the needle here, folks. Okay, you cannot kill the most innocent among us and allow these extremist states to literally contemplate murder after birth. Okay, you cannot tolerate that. And we need to stand boldly against this. And so I think that Donald needs to really, really double down in terms of pro-life. Second thing I think Donald needs to do is I appreciate the tax cuts we've received. And I appreciate the, what do they call these, job-killing regulations? 30,000 pages that he's, you know, jettisoned, we've cut 30,000 pages. I appreciate those things. And I think that's the direction we need to point to. But what we need to do now, Kurt, is we need to highlight a few things. One, we need to really reduce spending in government. Rand Paul's been the only bold, direct one with a common sense plan to reduce spending that I've seen. And so we need to reduce spending. We need to lower taxes. We need to put tariffs at the border. But we can't double dip. We can't charge property tax and income tax and tax and tax and tax and then put tariffs on top of it all. Okay, you've got to cut spending and you've got to cut these unconstitutional taxes. And if you promote pro-life and the cutting of taxes and the reduction in spending, and you couple that with abolishing a couple of government programs, maybe the IRS, maybe the Education Department, or both, you know, you'd really get some traction. Pretty soon the Republicans would feel like, hey, we're following the platform. We're standing for what we said we would. We're doing what we were elected to do. And I think if you do what you're elected to do, Kurt, then you might stay there. And you might have more support. But when you get elected on an idea like we're going to get rid of health care, and then you fail, you're not going to get reelected on those premises. You've got to stand for what you promised you would do, and you've got to be bold, and you've got to be direct, and you've got to be hard-hitting in going after that prize. If Donald were to get rid of the gun-free zones like he promised he would do for the first day, that would make a lot of difference. There's a lot of things that he could do, but I've highlighted a few, Kurt.
There's, you know, great stuff, Sam, and I agree with all those, you know, and I will harp on or at least bring up my, you know, this current idea with the tariff thing and the IRS, where you could basically say, hey, we found that there's this thing called tariffs that we can use, and we don't need the income tax system that drives everybody crazy anymore, and so we'll replace that. And man, I mean, that in itself, I think, would just be amazing. And then he could also highlight the fact that I was reading the Constitution the other day, and it says, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. And I found out we're not even supposed to be using this fake Federal Reserve note paper money. And, you know, and they've given me hassle about the whole economy thing, so I'm going to fix that too. I mean, wow, 50 state landslide right there, huh?
That's what I think. But, you know, there you go. But Donald's in a very tough position. He's in a swamp. One man can't solve all the world's problems. And we tend to think that, you know, TV show style, we can fix something in 30 minutes. We think one man can move the needle on everything. And I just don't think it's realistic or fair or possible. I'll give you an example. Democrats slam Donald Trump and his Mexico deal for, quote, failing and succeeding. You just can't win, Kurt.
It's a great point, Sam. And I mean, remember what happened? This was a late last week kind of thing where the president said, look, you know, if the Mexicans aren't going to take care of the border, we're just going to charge them, you know, basically we're going to charge them a tariff. And all of a sudden, you know, amazingly, they came to the table, Sam. So,
yeah, but they criticize him when he fails, and they criticize him, yeah, when he succeeds, and you just can't win.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I think it's the right thing, and that's why if we could lower taxes on the American people, put a tariff at the borders, and literally say to the Mexicans, hey, you better not let all kinds of illegals flow through your country. We're not doing that. We start getting rid of foreign aid. We could start cutting expenses. I mean, we're on the right track quick. We do those kind of things.
Good point.
Pompeo says Trump's threat of tariffs prompted deal with Mexico on migrants. He's right, Kurt. I rarely have anything good to say about Pompeo. I think that guy ought to be fired. But nevertheless, in this case, he's spot on.
I think you're right on target, Sam.
All right. Any others on those?
No, I don't see anything else to add there. But
it just shows how valuable tariffs can be if we use them properly. Hey, people know we're the biggest economy in the world. They want to play here. And if they can't play here, they're in trouble. Herschel Walker's in the news, Kurt.
Well, yes, he is, Sam. And Herschel Walker, you know, here's in contrast to the other ex-NFL player that we talked about, Herschel Walker, at least in my opinion, is a good example. You know, I mean, we were talking about the other guy. In this case, Herschel Walker blasts the California governor, well, the California folks, for giving illegal aliens free health care. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that that's a dumb idea. But, you know, Herschel Walker standing up for what's right there. Huh?
Well, Herschel Walker is correct. But what I would say to this is what I mean by we failed the health care discussion. You know, the Republicans need to double down. Why are we giving health care to illegals at all?
Why are we giving it to anybody?
Well, that's right.
Right.
Absolutely. But, I mean, especially, hey, California giving illegal aliens free health care. Why are we funding California at all?
Good point.
You know? But, again, this is where we kind of fail. I don't hear anybody bringing this up except for Marshall.
Yeah, I guess. You know, yeah, Herschel Walker, Herschel, says, I mean. He says, not to point fingers at California, he tweeted this, but why would you give free health care to illegal immigrants when your streets are littered with homeless, legal residents, trash, and tents? California is a beautiful place, so let's keep it that way. Yeah, I recommend you leave California as far as I can tell.
Well, there you go. All right, master this. Now the O word makes people feel like slaves. They cannot accept a reformed America. They're literally, mentally, not all there, writes Joe Kovacs, WND.com. Kurt?
Yeah, now I guess what they're talking about, Sam, is this thing called the O word, which is owner. Sam, and I just was kind of trying to figure out what the O word was, because I know what the N word is, you know, and you can't say that. Now we've got the O word, and I guess, you know, that's upsetting to some people if they say it. But they say, Seb headline, or the headline again to mention it, master this, now the O word makes people feel like slaves. Subheadline, they cannot accept a reformed America. They're literally mentally not all there. Joe Kovacs pointed this out, WorldNet Daily. And they talk about a team. They say apparently the term is too offensive for some in the National Basketball Association. And now there are reports that numerous teams in the NBA have had high-level discussions about moving away from the word owner. TMZ Sports says two teams have already implemented that policy. We're told the conversations essentially center around the idea that the term owner in a league where the majority of the players are black feels racially insensitive, TMZ reported. The move away from the big O comes on their heels of comments by Draymond Green. He's a player for the Golden State Warriors who appeared on the LeBron James show. I guess you probably missed that.
Anyway, so, these wackos believe you can't even say owner anymore because it has slave connotations. Never mind that you own your own business is all they're talking about here. And this is how the perverted, misrepresented reality kind of takes core. And there's people that literally entertain this idea, folks. It is insanity. Final story.
And I guess
the end
even
of the hour.
Rush Limbaugh, you know, said, hey, that was just dumb. He says it's unbelievable, disbelievable. It continues to pile up. Insanity, he called it.
Rush finally making sense for once.
Yeah.
All right. Here's how getting married in Alabama will change, writes Brendan Kirby. Kurt?
Well, the bottom line is in Alabama, they're getting the government out of getting married, Sam. I mean, just imagine that idea. I think we brought that up before, right? Didn't we?
I don't know. Tell everybody how marriage will change, Kurt.
Well, bottom line is they're not going to have the state be issuing marriage licenses.
Wow, isn't that the way it used to be in America, Kurt?
I think that's the way it was. People would get married and the preacher or whoever would do it for them, and they'd just write it in the Bible and got her done. You know, I mean, didn't even have to request permission from the state.
Do you support this, Kurt?
Well, you know, I think it's good to get the government out of so many things.
Yeah, the only reason government's in marriage in the beginning is because government said we can't be having black people marrying white people. Right? And isn't that how government got involved in marriage in the first place?
I figured the only reason they got in it was they wanted to charge people some extra cash.
Oh, that was just on the back end. The real reason is the government was racist and said, hey, we can't be having black people marry white people, and therefore we got to get in the middle of marriage. The ultimate racist government got in the middle of marriage. And now Alabama is just saying, look, we don't need the government promoting same-sex marriage and all these perversions, and so let's just get the government completely out of it. And let's just honor contracts between people. You know what? Two people create a contract. The job of the government would be to uphold that contract, to make sure that it's honored. To make sure there's a level, stable playing field with rules that people can understand, creating stability in the marketplace, if you will. I love the idea, and I hope other states catch on.
Very good, Sam. And I guess they say it gets the state out of granting a permission for people to get married, which a license is. Now, if a couple chooses to be married, that's between themselves or their church, their family. The state would not have a say there.
But the state would help honor the contracts, which I support.
I guess so. Yeah.
That is the proper role of the state. So I hope other states follow the lead of Alabama on this one, Kurt. Roy Moore ought to take that to the bank as he runs for senator.
There you go.
All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. Education always on Liberty Roundtable Live. LibertyRoundtable.com. Spread the word. Donate today, would you please? Live and on-demand radio at your fingertips. For Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people. Along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. Get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.